Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 517, where we know what date the election is. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm drinking a beer in honor of the election and in honor of Jeff.
Thank you.
It's called Delusional Optimist.
Hey, I go by the data I have.
Jeff is here as well.
Hello.
With all of his polls.
Hey, I think some of us, you know, are a little traumatized to the fact that, like, you know, if some you have...
We're all traumatized.
All I'm saying is if you have good news, like, accept that into your life. Like, yeah, I understand the tendency to want to you know, think because something bad happened once, it's going to happen again. But, like...
It's not been once, though, Jeff. It's been 4 years.
I know.
But, I mean, to his point, a lot of people are traumatized by polls, which, for the most part, tend to be within the range that they offer. Even in 2016, the polls were correct.
They weren't wrong.
Weren't correct in the way that people had hoped, because she did win the popular vote by like 3%, which is essentially what they had. It's just that apparently you could win by 3%. That does not mean you win in this country.
Yeah. So, like, as I understand it, you know, the Republicans essentially—it's possible it basically gives them a 3 to 4% like
buffer
advantage in the Electoral College. It doesn't mean you have to win by 5% to win the Electoral College. It means Republicans could still win even if they, you know, the other 4%. Candidate is 3% higher, right?
Well, I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
We've learned that a couple times.
As people like to point out, that I think...
The thing is, like, we're outside, like, right now, if... knock on wood, right now, the polling shows it's not 2016, so...
Yeah,
I'm just saying, let a little bit of hope into your life.
I will let some hope in when he's gone.
That's the other thing, is that he could still lose the election and then dispute the results and cause all kinds of problems.
Well, I mean, I think I kind of expect him to.
I think the
expectation that Jeff and a lot of people have, myself included, is that, like, looking at the polling right now, is that, like, if he was to lose by the margin that he's going to lose by currently,
doesn't,
like,
matter.
Even if he disputed it, this way, like, it's one thing if it came down, if it was like Bush Gore, where it's one state, but right now it looks like it's going to be so many states that you'd have to dispute like half a dozen of them.
Yeah,
to even get someone in the ballpark.
And someone, I would hope, at some point will, like, if it's a blowout, I think someone would explain to him, like, you know, it's like completely over. Like, you're done. Like, you are going to leave the office. So your best bet is to just fucking give a concession speech.
Well, my fear.
Now, whether he does that or not, I honestly don't give a shit at some point. Like, if he loses, he's leaving. Like, it's simple as that. Like, if it doesn't come down to, like, something like 2000, if it's a clear cut victory for Biden, it doesn't matter how much Trump kicks and screams, you know? So, whatever. Fucking cry about it, bitch. Like.
Well, Earl is here as well.
I am drinking a beer for November 3rd that would not make sense, but hey, who knows? Stranger things have happened. It's called Green on Top.
That would not work. Not that. No,
we don't want that either. That's bad.
But it's from the fine folks here. It's from KCBC, which is the Kings County Brewers Collective, which is located here in beautiful New York City. And I think the beer's gone bad. This is why you should probably drink the beer you buy when you buy it.
Oh, God, yes. Beer is meant to be had as soon as possible. It's funny because I know lots of people who love beer, right? Because that's who I am. And most of them have really huge beer fridges packed full of beer.
Yes.
I don't keep more than like 2 6-packs at a time because beer is meant to be had when it's fresh.
Yeah,
like, you want to drink it as soon as possible.
Yeah,
here's what I do.
Probably don't want to save your birthday beer from April to drink in October. So
exactly. Now that there are beers that are meant to be aged, but those are very specific beers that you buy for a specific purpose.
So okay,
your average beer, you want to drink in like a month or two. If it's not gone by then, it's trash.
Okay, so here's the thing, and this is something I own actually working at the library, is that a lot of beers actually do have expiration dates as well. I mean, to Tony's point, like, you want to drink it. You want to buy beer as you're drinking it. But if you don't, roughly speaking, 6 months is the window. Like, after 6 months, they don't guarantee it because of what's inside of it. And according to this can, it was canned on March 3rd, 2020. So we are way beyond the 6 month period. So that's on me. I'm trying to get rid of this stuff before I kick into my Halloween stuff.
Have you seen the Stone Enjoy By beers?
No.
They do a few of them every year. It's like the beer is literally like Stone Enjoy By 420. And you're literally supposed to drink the beer by 420. And if you haven't, then it's like off peak. It's a pretty cool concept. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, it's one of those things. And, you know, I'm not as into beer as Tony, but I am there. But also, it's one of those things where there's a lot of ways to drink beer, but there's a proper way to do it. And it's everything from what temperature you drink it at. Like, we had a beer talk the other day, and, you're supposed to drink around room temperature.
Yeah.
Like, the really crappy beer, the ones you're supposed to drink cold, so it masks the taste.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that, but you don't, like, a lot of that stuff you don't learn, it's just kind of like, oh, like, researching it, and, like, the different gases, like, everybody knows about the different gases, but there's reasons for each one of them.
I don't know about
I have like, let me look. I'm standing right next to my cabinet.
You have like a collection of glasses?
A collection of, they're all different shapes and sizes. Like, you have a Pilsner glass and a stout glass and an IPA glass. Like, there's literally like by type, you will have this specific glass. Because all the beers have like a different head, different aroma, like,
Different breathability.
Right. If you've got a really like strong beer that's meant to be served at room temperature, maybe you want it to breathe, so it's got like an open fluting. So
yeah, it's the same thing. If you go to bars, if you tend to 10 ounce drinks tend to be strong, and you get them in wider glasses, which and it's smaller, but it's like it's giving it more room. You know, like the one most people tend to use steins, which are like the big mugs. I forget what the weird gender ones are. Like, it's thin at the bottom, but it widens up at the top. Then you have pine glasses, which I think is the second most common one outside the stein. Yeah. So yeah, there's different types of ways to drink beer.
You can never go wrong with the snifter though. If you got a snifter, normally is.
Which one's the snifter?
The snifter. It's normally got like a. Like it's closed at the top and then opens and then closes again.
Kind of rounded.
It's kind of round, yeah.
Like a bulbish.
Normally, it's actually not meant for beer. It's meant for like brandy.
I do not have one of those. Actually, I do have one of those. I need to look into that. But yes,
drinking
and
out
the
of
other
one
thing,
right now.
The other thing, I'm drinking out of a mug, like I said, a peasant drinking 7-month-old beer. The other thing you want to take into account sometimes, and it doesn't happen often. If some beers will actually tell you how to, like, because, like, some beers, like, because of how they're made and stuff, like, you actually want to pour out half of it, shake up the rest of it in the bottle, and then pour the rest of it, and not everybody knows that, and some beers will specifically tell you that. Like, out of habit, I just do that with most of my beers now, just to kind of make sure you get the most flavor at the bottom of it, and then you pour it into the rest of it, and it kind of brings out the flavor in that.
So typically that's for beers that have a lot of sediment. Because the sediment, when you actually pour the beer, will stay at the bottom of the bottle. So if you pour out all the liquid, it'll just stay there. But if you like leave a little liquid in the bottom and then foam it up, the sediment will get caught in the foam, and then you'll have it in your glass instead of wasting it in the bottle.
So yeah, thank you for joining us for this beer podcast.
Yeah. What's next week? The election and beer on the brain.
Fair. Yeah.
I mean, wow. I think we have beer on the brain because of the action.
I always got beer on the brain.
I do too, but
I usually got beer literally on my brain. Like it's pouring it onto my brain right now.
This is your beer. This is your brain on beer. Wait, what? That doesn't make any sense.
It's pickled. It's floating in a fucking pint of beer.
It's also been a light week for games, so like, there's not a ton of news. And
oh, come on! There was a great release today. Awesome release.
Age of Empires 3?
Age of Empires 3 Definitive Edition.
So, exciting. I mean, those Age of Empires HD remakes have been really good. They are 15, 20-year-old games. But they are great.
Yeah.
So did you play any of that?
I played about half an hour of it. It looks awesome. One of the more interesting things about the game, if you played the original when it came out, the cutscenes were done in-engine, which was kind of weird. The previous Age of Empires games had little, like, story, like, text story things, but in the actual game, they would have, like, the characters walking around and talking on the map and, like, you know, talking to each other, yelling at each other. But, of course, in, what was it, 2005... it did not look good. It looked really bad. So now, with the new graphics, it actually looks pretty awesome. Nice. To see the characters walk around talking to each other. They also changed some of the content in the game, which was pretty cool. The original Age of Empires 3 was kind of racist towards Native Americans. So for this one, they actually worked with like First Nation tribes to rebuild those parts of the games, like make the units look like they should actually look, rewrite storylines so that they were less racially charged, and kind of like rebuild those parts of the game. And that's pretty cool. I like that they put that effort into the remake, because normally when you get these remakes, it's just like they go and they change the graphics and everything else stays the same. But that was actually changing content to make it better, to make it more modern, which was cool.
That's nice.
Yeah. And of course, the Age of Empires 3 is the best playing of the Age of Empires games by virtue of, you know, having predecessors, having lessons to learn and all that. It still plays pretty great. I've never loved the Age of Empires gameplay model.
You turtle up, build a giant town and army, right? And then go.
Yeah. And actually controlling the army is super awkward. And I've never liked RTSs where you build an army, but spend most of the time staring at your home base managing stuff instead of watching the army that you built.
Yeah, watching your meters raise up. Most of the time your army's just like standing in the corner.
I actually like the missions in the games that detach you from that. Like, it's control these troops and, like, move them around and attack stuff. Why in the Age of Empires 2, I always loved the Attila the Hun campaign. Because so much of it was just, okay, here's a bunch of horsemen. You don't need to worry about the city building aspects. Go out and fight with them, which is cool. But here, there's a lot of just, you know... All right, let me see if I can mash building pikemen as fast as I can. Because there's a fight going on outside the town. I can't see it, but I know it's happening.
It's very much the classic Warcraft, Starcraft type gameplay model.
Yeah. It's why I've always loved the Total War series, because those two parts of the game are completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have your turn-based model where you're building up your army and all that, and then you go into battle, and... Okay, a battle's a separate thing. You have the army that you built, the other side has the army that they built, and now you fight. And who wins? And the whole clicky, 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 clicky thing is not a factor.
Yeah.
The clicky thing.
So.
Yeah, because it basically those battles end up being like weird Diablo, like where it's like, all right, gotta like target, or because otherwise the AI just starts attacking whatever's nearest instead of whatever's strongest. So
yep,
you end up having to click on like a lot during those battles.
Yeah, like, you're constantly like regrouping your units. All right, one attack, two attack over here, three attack over here. Oh no, one died. Okay, let's make a new one. Okay, one attack here. It's annoying.
So I do see like, and I think it's just people that don't know because they've never played them, or they don't remember how those games actually played, where it's like they want them ported to like the console, it would be impossible because
it would not work. Yeah.
You really need to like segment your troops and like, you know, use hotkeys to, so you can select certain segments of your army to attack certain places. Cause otherwise you're just dealing with a giant mass of nonsense.
Yep.
So, well, I'm glad that they've put that out and people are enjoying it. And I will play it at some point. So
I'm still playing it.
What was that?
That point could be now.
No. I'm still playing Age of Empires 1, so trying to get some of the achievements in that, which will take forever. It's like get 50,000 wood. Good luck with that one.
That's a lot of wood. It's actually not that hard.
Earl, you play anything this week?
Well, you know, part of me, I played G.I. Joe Operation Blackout.
Yes. I watched you play some of that.
Yes. So I tried streaming this week just because, like everybody else. Actually, I did it because I was sitting there, like, nobody had really seen the game. I'm like, you know what? I got money, which is always a curse. and I was kind of curious in this, so I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll throw some cash in and see how it goes. Try streaming. It fits into the theme I was working in my head. The game is okay. The game's okay. It's not great. Not terrible. The positives. I think. I'm not gonna say it looks nice. I like the style of it. Let's go with that.
Yeah, it has a cool art style to it.
Yeah, it has a nice cel shaded art style to it. I like how the it's one of the games that. I mean, a lot of games do this, but I think the comic book transition screens really work. It pays homage to the roots of the franchise, which, you know, like G.I. Joe's is a multimedia franchise. It's, you know, I think a lot of us know it from the action figures and the toys of the 80s. But part of what the appeal of that was also the comic books that came with the toys that helped flesh out the characters that we know of now. So I think it was great that they used it in this. The voice acting isn't great, but I also think it fits the brand. Like, G.I. Joe is one of those franchises where I enjoy it, but like, you can't really point to anything that's great in the franchise. And I think like, the movie Rise of Cobra I enjoy as well. Not a great movie, but it's a ton of fun. One of the things I was really pleased with is like this actually has active reload. I'm always surprised that more people haven't aped that from the Gears of War franchise. The flip side to that, as far as I can tell, is like this: the active reload doesn't do anything.
There's no bug. You just get a quicker reload.
I mean, you do. Yeah, it's just a quicker reload. Either that, or you go through the full animation, which I guess is what happened in Gears as well. But in Gears, if you do the active reload well, you also get ammo that does more damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does not seem to be the case here. The gun control is it's really weird because I'm trying to mess with the controls. At default, I feel it's kind of slow, but you move it up one or two, and you're just unwieldy trying to control the weapons because it's swinging all over the map. The boss encounters are weird. Like, I don't know if you saw the part with Duke. Where Duke showed up like three or four times. Yeah,
that was something.
You shoot him a few times, and then he disappears, and he'll come back later on. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. The funny thing is, though, I think, is that it kind of mimics a online game. Because essentially the missions that I've played so far, which is only two or three, because I'm trying to keep it for streaming, is that like one of the missions is essentially capture the flag, or capture the point. So you have to guard a point while enemies are attacking waves. And then the other one is it's essentially defense. It's like the same thing. You have wave enemies coming through. And you're bunkering down in a position. I'm like, it kind of works with G.I. Joe's, but it's an interesting choice for a multiplayer. But yeah, I think, you know, I paid $40 because I got the deluxe edition because it comes with cartoon skins as well, which you have to get certain characters to do. I think it's fine. I think it would be better at like $20-$25. Like, I think it was John who was big into the idea of it. I think if you're a fan of G.I. Joe, it's not a bad game to pick up. Like, I mean, there have been far worse licensed games in our history.
Yeah, it didn't look bad. Like, hey, this looks like a decent budget game if you really aren't playing anything.
Yeah. And that was kind of, it was really...
And you picked that up instead of Star Wars. Come on.
Yes. I mean, partially because, I mean, honestly speaking, it was, I was sitting there and I'm like, there's no reviews out. And I've been wanting to try streaming again, like anybody else during quarantine, because I got a ton of nothing to do. And my whole idea was like, oh, not necessarily licensed games. Well, licensed games because of the theme. But I'm like, oh, it would be really cool if I focused on like cartoon, like Saturday morning cartoon. It's like this, the Nicktoons game, the Cartoon Network game. And I thought G.I. Joe was a great start to that. It's a franchise that I think a lot of people of our generation know.
Get that Nickelodeon racer game.
Yeah, I think I have. I have a few games that I bought at the start of August or end of July when I was thinking about this originally. Like, I bought Shaq Fu: The Legend Reborn. I bought Disney Adventure, I think, was on Game Pass. Yeah. The Disney Afternoon Collection, I think, was on Game Pass, so I bought it for like $5. So there's a few games that I do have set up. I'm just throwing money at stuff that I'm not going to follow through on. But it was nice to kind of just play it, and show everybody that I'm also really off web video games. But yeah, it's a fine game, and I think for like paying in an hour and a half a day for folks is, well, not a day, but like when I have free time, isn't so bad. It's the type of game. Again, I don't think I'm going to stream full time or anything like that. But it's the type of game, because I see people who stream and they're like, oh, I would play this game when I'm streaming. Like, I do not miss that game if I'm not right now. Like, I'm not missing it. But if I hop on and do it for other people, like, sure, whatever. I'm not missing out on it in my free time. Like, I couldn't do it on a Mario game, for example.
Right, because you want to play that one all the time. Like, you can't just hold it. I get it. Oh, neat. You play anything else besides G.I. Joe?
I played a game called, let me see if I can find the name. It's something Mad Dash Ride or something like that. It's a rhythm-based platformer on the Switch. I played the demo of it, I should say. I thought it was really cool. So, I mean, essentially how it works is, like I said, it's rhythm-based. So you can move normally, but like you move faster, you move better if you time it to the beat. So like you press, I think if you press A, your character will kind of move forward in whatever direction you're facing. B is to jump. X is to charge and Y is to drop. And you just combine that in a variety of ways. So you can like jump and then press A and the analog stick to do a long jump, which will close gaps. You know, you use the jump underneath enemies to take them out. And the music has to be really catchy for a rhythm-based game. But it's like one of those rhythm-based games. Like I think a great rhythm-based game is one that you can kind of close your eyes, and if you feel the beat, you can play it with your eyes closed. And I tried that, and I really kind of got into it. And nice. Then like the second song kind of threw me off because it changes the beat just a little bit. But again, it's one of those things where it's nice that it's somebody thinking inside of a frame. Like rhythm-based games are popular, platformers are popular. It's trying to find a new innovative way to combine those two, and that it's a ton of fun. Like I said, there's a demo on the Switch right now. I don't know if it's OU on the Switch, but when I was taking the Pikmin demo, I saw it. I'm like, oh, let me download this. And I still have not played the Pikmin demo, so.
Jeff, did you play the Pikmin demo?
I did.
You going to buy Pikmin 3 again?
I am super on the fence after playing the demo.
Oh, no. Because I was going to buy it, but now that you said I think I might.
You should buy it. I played that game a lot on Wii U. I must have played through that game at least 5 times. So like when I started playing up the demo, I really got this strong going through the motions feel. Where you're just like, fuck, dude, I've done this a million fucking times. Like, so
it's just not new enough. There's nothing new for you to go to it, but for people that haven't played it, like
it's just it's a great game. Like, so get it, but like. The demo is the first hour of the game, and like that's also like heavy tutorial, like and like you know narrative. So it's like that's super boring for someone who's played the game a million times to play through. I almost wish like I got a peek at what like some of the new stuff is. But here's the fact of the matter: because of when it's coming out, like it comes out on Halloween, I start vacation that day. I'm gonna want something to play over vacation.
That is true.
And fair so enough.
The odds of me not buying it.
Nintendo scheduled it specifically for you.
You could get
buy Watch Dogs.
Honestly, if like something was coming out, if like one of the games I was looking forward to was coming out that same day or that same week instead, and, like, I would probably just, I don't care enough. I'm not getting that.
You could get a Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope.
Not
doing it for you.
You know, I was surprised.
There's a new expansion out for Hearts of Iron 4.
I was surprised to learn that Cyberpunk is coming out. I thought that was delayed till next year. I was like,
no.
Did you weren't around on the episode to discuss Crunch around that game.
Yeah, they announced that they were doing Crunch, and then like a week later announced that it had gone gold. They're still crunching because there's going to be a day one patch. But
well, that's at least like I was looking at like what's coming out, and there was not a whole lot I'm looking forward to. And so that's at least something where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm for sure going to buy it. I'm looking forward to it. I hope I like it. You know. But that's like literally, that's not like one of the big games I'm looking forward to is Tetris Effect. You know what I mean? It's just like there's not a lot that I'm super.
That's a great game. So
yeah, it looks great. Immortals, I'm looking forward to that. That looks cool as shit.
That game looks really good.
Until December, though, right?
That's really late.
But come on, there's a bunch of open world games about to hit between Cyberpunk and Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs. You could spend forever playing those three games.
Yeah.
You could be set with those three games till like February.
Well, I was going to say, if Immortals and Cyberpunk are both really cool, that's like pretty good end of the year, I'd say. You
won't need anything else at that point. You really won't.
Jeff, you jumped back into Animal Crossing.
I did. I'm like fully back on board.
Is it because of Joe Biden? Is that why you jumped back in?
No.
That's tomorrow.
Is Joe Biden in Animal Crossing?
He's. I think the people at Kinda Funny Games are doing a showcase of Joe Biden's Animal Crossing town tomorrow. Friday, October 16th, for those of you listening in the past. So, yeah.
Yes, so yesterday. Yeah. This week or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's Friday. Friday. Whatever. Yeah.
Time is weird.
We record 2 days before this comes out.
It's still March, right? I mean, let's be honest.
Yes, it's still March.
March is a very long time.
In some parts of the city, it's always weird because like, when I go into the office, like, the train stations don't update their ads. So it's still stuff like coming this February, coming March 6th. And like it's so weird to just kind of see like the city frozen in time.
I walked past our local movie theater the other day, and all the ads are pre-pandemic. It's so sad. Black Widow coming soon. No, it's not. Sorry.
I thought to say it was better than like if it's like Black Widow coming soon, Wonder Woman coming soon. I mean, technically, you know,
that's
true.
What the answer. Yeah.
Now it's nothing coming soon. It's like rent out our theater for $100 and you can watch Jurassic Park.
I mean, honestly speaking, if they were doing that in New York City, I was like, for $100, I'd rent it out for friends, and I wanted to do the Nightmare Before Christmas on Halloween, but like, New York City theaters aren't open, so we can't do it yet.
That sucks. That
yeah, I mean, $100 isn't so bad. I mean, you have a family of what, five?
Six.
I mean, that's almost the cost of going to the theaters on its own, anyhow.
Oh yeah, so if we go to the theaters, with popcorn, it's well over $100.
Like, I like how Chris took a beat there to count.
Now I know why Chris sneaks off to the theater on his own so much.
Hey, it cost me $100 every single time I go.
I mean, it cost me $100 anyway. Like, buy all the food and the tickets, and bring all your kids. Oh no.
Yeah.
No.
And then, like, generally, you're going at that because, like, you're going when the movie comes out. You're then stuck in there with everybody else, and
yeah,
they've all brought their kids, and
it's funny because I remember when I was young, I used to always get mad at my parents for not getting concession food, and then I had to start paying for like everything. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna bring food in or eat before I go to the movie.
It's hysterical. Like looking at it, my mom would do this. She would like sneak popcorn in or sneak snacks in and jukeboxes in her fucking giant purse. And then now, like, we go to the theater and she'll come with us and she'll buy popcorn. Like, you never, like, you're buying it for my kids. You never bought it for me. Ever. I never got popcorn. Unless no,
the grandchildren are on another level, though. They're on another level.
Yes. It's like, this is why when I go to the theater, I buy them popcorn, but she picks up the tab when she goes with us on the popcorn, so can't argue with that.
But yeah, it's like, it was one of the first things where I realized, like, oh, my parents weren't cheap asses. They were just being really smart,
yeah.
Because even as somebody who goes to the theaters and a lot of times get tickets for free, or what happened before the pandemic where I had the movie pass and I had Regal Unlimited, it's like, oh, I'd buy concessions just kind of to feel better. And I'm like, I can't do this because it adds up so much. A popcorn and a drink is like $15.
Yep. It's the price of a ticket. Like, that's why people like complaining that Mulan was $30. Like, yes, that's expensive, but it's a family movie.
Yeah.
And if you're taking your family to the theater, like, it's going to be, you know, $60-$70 for tickets by itself. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway.
But I mean, three in a month anyway, right?
Like a month. I mean, December is going to be the month to have Disney Plus between that and Soul coming out on Christmas Day. But before we get off the topic of movies, just to kind of tie it into the theme of the podcast, did any of you check out the Monster Hunter trailer?
I did. I'm not sure what it has to do with Monster Hunter.
I don't know.
Where did the U.S. military come into Monster Hunter? I missed that part. I really did. Why are there Humvees? Why are there guns? I've never seen a gun in Monster Hunter.
It's one of those things where, I mean, like, you could, there's like a gun sword or something like that.
Right.
But it was one of those things. Like, I'm very curious about the movie because I'm like, how do you explain like how missile, like rocket launchers and guns and trucks aren't effective, but a sword is at killing a monster? And I'm just
right.
Like, I want to see, like, what's your explanation? But yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like, you have this concept for this video game that's actually, I mean, the concept's whatever, but like the idea of like tracking and hunting giant monsters is kind of nifty.
Yeah.
And then you turn it into like a U.S. military movie, and it's like, oh, you just made it super generic.
Yeah.
But for some odd reason, after six Resident Evil movies, Capcom's like, you know who we should trust with our Monster Hunter movie? That guy who did such a great job with Resident Evil.
Hey, some people really like that director.
I'm sure his 12 fans will be super happy.
As somebody who kind of enjoys some of the Resident Evil movies, even I was like, this is an odd choice. Because it's like when you look at Ubo and the fact that somehow he ended up getting 4 video game franchises. It's like nobody paid attention. You're just like, oh, somebody wants to make a movie about our stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're not good films. I do enjoy the Resident Evil movies. They're not good, but they have grossed, like, the 6 films have grossed over $1 billion.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, they made money. That is true. They are the...
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but
I need to one day go through those movies. I've only seen first one.
That is the best one.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm good then. I don't know.
Because
I don't remember thinking the first one was like anything good either. Like,
yeah, if that's your thoughts, then I would just not watch.
Retire from Resident Evil.
Well, you know, my taste in bad movies has grown, so we'll see.
But this is
true. I can vouch for that. Like, lots of bad movies.
I it's called expanding your horizons.
I mean, I can't say anything, but just from my expertise in the field of questionable content, I would say that I think the odd number ones are better. So 1, 3, 5 are decent. Honestly, I feel like the movie franchise suffers whenever it tries to incorporate elements from the video game.
Agreed, because like they tried to bring Jill in the second one.
Yeah,
but like that movie's terrible.
Jill and Nemesis.
Yep, they try to do the Resident Evil 2 thing, and it just doesn't work. But like when they go off on their own and do weird superhero crap, it's goofy fun.
Yeah,
there is a dragon in the last film, I think, though. think she fights like a giant zombie dragon.
Oh, and that's the other thing. It's such a weird thing, especially for something that has such a uniform style. It's I don't know if you folks are huge comic book fans. There used to be a tall tale that the Daredevil writers would always come up with some really stupid thing at the end of their run to see how the next writer would deal with it. And I feel like that's what happens in the Resident Evil movies. Because like almost every movie ends in like this big dramatic cliffhanger way that they have to find some way to undo at the start of the next movie. So like almost all of them just kind of retcon what happens. Because like she becomes a superhero at the end of the second or third one.
Yeah.
And they have to get rid of all of her powers. And then you find out that she's a clone. Like sometimes you'll kill off the clone so you can have more time. It's really weird.
There's a great scene in one of those movies. I mean, not a great as a
there's a scene. A there's a scene. It's just a scene.
But she fights off like a bunch of these umbrella troops, and then like three more of them show up. Like three more of the clones show up. And they're all fighting at the same time. It's
yes, okay. It's and terrible. If you ever watch them, I mean, we have drinking rules on the site, but the simplest one. Outside of the first one, if you drink anytime you see the Umbrella logo, because Umbrella labels everything.
We don't want to kill anybody that's listening, Earl.
But, maybe we do. I mean,
yes.
This could be an opportunity right here.
I just say that they label tables, they label boxes, they label anything with that Umbrella logo. I'm just like, this is kind of ridiculous. Even Batman's like, dude, show it down a bit. But yes, check that out.
But back to Animal Crossing.
So Animal Crossing.
I forgot that's what we were talking about.
Wow, we went on a loop there. All right.
We went around the block a couple times. Animal Crossing, yeah, I'm playing that. I was off of it probably for a month or two. You know, I'd check in here and there, you know, but I was not playing that game for a while. I'm pretty sure everyone else here fell off of it, right? Is anyone back on it now that the season's changed?
I purposely got off of it because I felt like, I think it's a fun game, but I felt like I was just doing the motions with it. And there's a lot of interesting updates, but I feel like if I go back, I'm just going to get trapped in that same loop of going in the morning, checking item prices, taking up my weeds, talking to my neighbors. And it's a fun game, but I just feel like I wasn't doing much different every day.
I do find now that I don't give a shit about money. It's kind of liberating in that I just do whatever I want when I play it. But I think I do have just like a different checklist now than I did before. But so anyways, it's kind of like sucked me fully back in because of Halloween. Like, you know, it's easily my favorite holiday. So ever since, what was it? I think September 30th or something, like they did the update and it's Halloween shit every day now. So I'm like, if there's a game I've been playing pretty consistently over the last month, it's that. You know, usually like a half hour a day, though. Not like when I first got the game and it would be like, you know, you're putting in hours every day. So every day in the store now, there's a like one Halloween item that you could buy that's pretty expensive. And it's usually like a jack-o'-lantern or a stack of jack-o'-lanterns or, you know, some sort of like outdoor decorations for Halloween. So that's fun. You know, and I've just been every day buying whatever they have. I've finally gotten some repeats now, so I'm wondering if I've seen everything that they have for the holiday. But I'm just, you know, I'm putting them up all over all the, you know, my house is decorated like crazy. So like I'm like decorating the animals' houses in the town.
Nice.
Of course, every day you can buy a piece of candy. One piece of candy per day, and you're saving those up for trick-or-treating on Halloween. So if you guys plan on playing on Halloween, you might want to put in some time beforehand.
So when they come to your house, or?
I think, I don't remember how it works exactly, but I think think it's just like if you go talk to someone and you give them candy. I don't know what you get. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know you want your fucking candy for the trick-or-treating on Halloween. So, and with it being that you can only buy one per day, let's say you start playing right now, you're going to have at most 15 pieces of candy to play with on Halloween. If you go in on Halloween, you have a piece of candy. So I don't know how it works exactly, but I'm assuming you want like a lot of candy.
Yeah.
What else is going on? And, you know, there's do-it-yourself, you know, recipes that are Halloween related. I think it's just the shit that they sell in the shop, but, you know, then you can learn the item and build it on your own so that you don't have to. Well, I mean, that would be the only way you could get it, because, like, those types of items you can't even order at the store, even if you've already owned it. I'm trying to think what else about it right now. I mean, it's just basically that whole Halloween, the whole Halloween vibe that's going on in the town right now. Like, I got it looking, you know, everywhere you look, you're going to see some sort of Halloween imagery. I've been downloading, like, designs and shit, so, like, I got my whole town decked out with, like, political signs, just like real life. And so, you know, I got, like, Biden signs all over the place. You could go into, like, the, what is it, the Able Sisters shop, and there's, like, a computer on the back wall where you could, like, you know, if you have a code for someone else's design, you could put that in and you know, download it. But you can also just do keyword searches. So, like, if you search Biden or whatever, you could get Biden signs. So I got a bunch of Biden signs, and then like the animals that I hate who I want to leave the town, I put Trump signs in front of their house.
Jesus.
Just to let people know those are the assholes. If not that anyone still visits my island, but in my little imaginary, you know, playground, that's just way of marking that those people are assholes.
I hate these people.
it's basically one person's house. I just want them to leave so bad, and you won't. I don't know. I don't know if there's much else to say about it except that, you know, that change of season and, you know, being able to craft some different stuff and decorate for the holiday has definitely, like, you know, I went from not playing at all to I at least, fuck, I forgot today, I think. Every day except for today, I've gone in and checked what's going on. So, that'll probably be true through the end of the year. Like, I have a feeling. I think they're doing stuff for Thanksgiving even, and of course they're going to do stuff for Christmas. I think once that happens, I'll probably be like...
You'll be out for a bit.
I have beaten the Animal Crossing. You know, I've seen... Once you've seen all four seasons, and you've seen the holidays and shit, like, what else is there to really fucking say?
Outside of collect everything. Like,
yeah. But, you know, so...
Well, nice.
Yeah. That's Animal Crossing. You guys should... Come join in the festivities. I sent everyone spooky stuff too for Halloween.
I should open it up, I guess.
Your mailbox is full.
Your mailbox is full.
Can
your mailbox get full?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a ton of villagers who are mad at and checking on them for their birthday.
I'm afraid to go back in and it's just like a fucking dirty wasteland.
I deleted mine,
it's gone.
Yeah.
Bye.
There will be weeds. I've had to weed, you know, when I first got back into it. There was the whole north side of the map.
There's five weeds a day.
They spread, like, so it's like, you know, if you see a weed and you just leave it, like, it'll spread from there. Like, it's neat. Like, so I had a very bad problem area. Half the map.
And you played some Super Lucky's Tale.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know what to say about that game, except I played all of it. I played the whole game.
Yeah.
I thought that game was fine, but, like, really bland. I don't know. Like,
but far better than Sunshine.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Far better.
No.
More fun than Sunshine.
Yes, definitely more fun. Sunshine is not fun.
Okay, I like the 2D levels in Super Lucky's Tale.
They're both fine. It's just like the game is very fine. I think my Twitter review was that was one of the most okay games I've ever played. Like, it's just like...
It's not offensively bad, or and it's not great at anything. It's just, it's fine. It's
very basic platformer. You know, you could do like four things in each level. You could get them all done in one run if you know what you're doing or you care. Very, very forgiving, very easy game. I think that was a very easy, like, I always had more lives than I fucking cared. I don't know, just the levels and shit are just super fucking easy. You don't need to beat all the levels to advance. Like, it doesn't, like, it'll be like, you need 10 pages to fight the boss here, and you have the 10 pages after you've done, like, two or three of the levels out of, like, the fucking seven levels that will be in an area. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah, because each level gives you, like, if you get everything, gives you four pages per, so... and then there's, like, some... There's even spaces that are just, like, puzzle areas that you can get a page at, or...
Yeah, and so it's just, like, very... You know, a lot of games will kind of pad their game out by making that shit really restrictive, and it bugs me where I'm like, God damn it, now I gotta go back through the game and, like, scrape through the game and, like, make sure I get all the stars or whatever the fuck so I can fight the boss.
You do kind of wish, like, that it made you play all the levels, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like, almost too far in the opposite direction. But, you know, that makes it a very kid-friendly platformer, which is, like, you know, hey, that's kind of what, you know, it's good that, you know, there's one that, like, an inexperienced or younger player can play that's not, like, fucking, like, insanely hard, you know.
Did you play New Super Lucky's Tale or just Super Lucky's Tale?
New Super Lucky's Tale, yeah.
Did you do the levels after the credits? After you beat, yes.
No, I was so bored with it by...
Those are more difficult.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they're fun, but like, some of them are like where you have to control the ball, like, on, like, the course where Lucky's in the ball.
Yeah. So
it almost feels like it was designed for, like, gyro or something, like, where you'd be tilting.
Yeah.
But
Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like in Galaxy.
I haven't deleted it yet in case I'm like, oh, let's go check this out. But, like, I just, like, again, like, that game, not a lot to it. Yeah. I did, the final boss did give me a little trouble. Like, I had to fight him.
Yeah, like, there's a giant difficulty spike right at that final boss. Like,
it's one of those bosses where it's like, you have to avoid his attacks for, like, a minute and a half or 2 minutes before you could do the only thing that will hurt him, and, like, you have to do that over and over, and you know, if you fuck up, then it's like, it just got annoying to me after a while. I was like, do I just give up? Because I fucking, it sucks having to, like, basically get him to his final, like, you know, his final phase, and then fucking up, and then having to play through, like, you know, the 4 or 5 minutes before that again. I finally got him. I mean, it wasn't like, again, nothing in this game is super hard, but it was, like, that was the one thing that gave me a little bit of trouble in the game was the final boss. But
And it's because it's pattern recognition, so you don't know what the patterns are at first. And
Yeah. It's okay. Like, you know, it's a Game Pass game, so it's like, you know, I'm happy to have a free platformer. You know, obviously, I guess it kept my interest enough. I played through it. You
finished it, yeah.
But it's not like nothing to write home about.
I played a little platformer. I think you played this one too, Jeff, in the past. Little Nightmares.
Yeah, that's a cool game.
Yeah, it was interesting. It takes place in a 3D. Like, you can control your character in, like, a 3D area, but the levels aren't necessarily. Like, it's not sort of set up like that. Like, you look at it from a side angle view. So sometimes the perspective gets a little funky and can make you die that way. But cool little puzzle platformer. You know, it is
you know,
horror season. So,
yeah, it has, like, very good horror theming.
Yeah.
And like a genre that, you know, you might not expect that from
no.
You know, it's pretty cool. Like it's a good. It's on sale often. I think it might be on sale. Well, is that a game? Is that a Game Pass game?
No, right I bought it. It was on sale for like $4.99 or $5.
Yeah, dude. So I think I paid $30 for it, and I thought it was cool.
It's cool. Like it is surprisingly a little bit graphic though. Like I mean not like where they show, but it's like all of a sudden like you don't really realize that I thought you were trying to escape, but like at some point like you actually like eat a whole gnome like alive. And I was like, oh fuck. And then the way it actually ends is pretty pretty graphic, so
yeah, I mean that would be a good game to play right now. Yeah. If anyone doesn't have it and it's still on sale for $5, that's totally worth it.
Yeah, fun little game.
Yeah.
I started Batman The Enemy Within, which is the second Telltale season. That's an interesting game that I have gone up and down on my opinion. I like playing as Batman, but they make you play as Bruce Wayne in that game.
Oh no!
But maybe you played it differently. My big beef with the original was really that Batman is such a defined character that I kept on finding myself being like, "No, Batman wouldn't do that," and making decisions as if I was playing as Batman and not as some nebulous character. Like The Walking Dead, where you're an original character.
Yes.
That can make this decision where it's like, yeah, Batman's not going to murder somebody. Like, I don't think that's a choice, but like, there are things where it's like, oh no, they're just making Batman kind of like a dirty cat.
Yeah, yeah, and like, so yeah, they're like, I am playing it much like my vision of Batman would play it, and like very loyal to Gordon, working with Waller only because you have to. It's I don't know. It's fine. It's worth 1,000 achievement points, which I am hunting for right now. So, and it's been sitting in my library forever. Game looks great, though. Looks great. And I do like its interpretation of Joker, who isn't quite the Joker yet in this. He just goes by the name John Doe. He's fun. And I'm playing my relationship with Bruce and John Doe is like kind of buddies. Like, I mean, like Bruce is all I'm trying to like push who I know is going to become the Joker into like, you know, not being a psychopath, which is kind of fun to see how he plays off on those things. But otherwise, it's fine.
Franco's got a psycho.
Yeah. I started The Evil Within 2. That's pretty good. It is less Resident Evil than the first one, and maybe more Silent Hill-y. It's cool. Like it's a decent game, I think, to play like in, you know, scary season, Halloween-ish. There's a Halloween-ish vibe to it with its supernatural and zombies and monsters and stuff. So it's a good looking game too. You guys play any of The Evil Within 1? Nope. I think Jeff did, but he has stepped away, I believe.
Jeff died.
He went rest to in peace, Jeff. He goes in Animal Crossing. Make sure they're doing okay.
He has to get his candy in. And I tried out xCloud. So I bought a new Kindle Fire this week because mine was old and wouldn't hold a charge anymore. So I bought a new one of those and side-loaded the Game Pass app onto it. And it works. Like, it is maybe...
That's a review.
Yeah, I mean, I tried three games out. I've tried out Forza a couple times now, which is, you know, I think a racing game. Like, you need to be able to have precision control in a racing game, because if you don't, you will you know, crash your car or whatever. And it works fine. I did notice some artifacting while playing it today. Like the game got a little bit blurry, which isn't necessarily ideal, but also you're not playing in the ideal situation. Like if you have to play on your tablet, like you're going to have to make some concessions, I guess. I play Gears. That game, it plays also plays fine. Another game you need precision control. It is maybe not conducive to playing on a small screen, though. I think the Fire tablet screen is like 8 inches. It was hard to see, like really, like because you're playing in third person, so you don't have that zoomed in view already. It's not the best way to play Gears, but I guess you know. If you are stuck playing, like if you need to play mobile or on a streaming type system, I guess that's fine. And then I tried out my time at Porsche just because I wanted to see how achievements popped on it. And I knew you would, like, basically you get an achievement in that game for just starting it.
You really are desperate for those achievements, huh?
I just wanted to see how, like, if it actually popped on your screen or not, and it does. It looks exactly like the, you know, if you're playing on your Xbox. The only difference is that you can't bring up the guide, so I don't know how parties would work. Like, I don't know if I could play. I assume I could play Gears with you guys, but I don't know how that would actually, like, how I would set that up if I was playing on streaming and you guys were on a regular Xbox. But it works. And it's free if you have Game Pass Ultimate, so not the best way to play it, but like, certainly serviceable.
Certainly a way to play it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
2020.
It's a game. Yeah. It's added value, right? Like I don't think that should not be your primary way of playing games. But you know, if you happen to be somewhere, an airport or something, and the connection seems stable enough, like it might work. It might be good enough. And, Earl said, I'm desperate for those achievements. Currently, Xbox is running this Hall of Fame thing, where there are multiple ways of getting, I guess, into their raffle or whatever, but I think one of them is this Xbox Hall of Fame achievement thing, which is on the rewards app currently. So you can get up to 10,000 rewards points for every achievement you earn. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna try it. There's no way that you do this without cheating.
How do you get? It's like they give you like 20 days to get
10,000 achievements.
Yeah. I normally get like 10,000. It's like an entire year for me.
Yeah.
I'm just over 40,000 after being on Xbox Live for 13 years. So
yeah. I've been on about the same amount of time as Earl, and I'm a shade over 120,000.
Yeah, so, you guys do way more achievements. Like, I'm more on the Earl end here. It's just like, I see like what you guys do. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. I will achievement hunt a little bit to extend my game more than I used to, but I still like, I don't know.
Don't really
pay attention enough. I like when they pop up.
Monday I won, so like I went on and I had like, I don't know, maybe 1,500 or 1,600 achievement points on Monday for the month.
Jeez. Oh, I thought you're like on Monday. I was like, what?
you just wait. Somebody that a couple of us know, he's Cool Luck on Twitter, and also on Xbox. I saw he had almost 8,000 achievement points. And I was like, how the fuck? So you can check into somebody's profile if you're friends with them.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
see that like he has like 4 or 5 like 1,000 point achievement games like in a row. And he earned them all in the same fucking day.
What the fuck?
So it's like how did he do that. So like I go on, I look up, I go to True Achievements, look up these games, and they're broken. Like, they're absolutely broken. One of them is Surviving Mars. Basically, you boot that game up, you create a Paradox account, and then go to the mods section. And if you install two mods, when you start the game, it will unlock all 1,000 achievement points. Just instantly, like, that's what the mod is. It's like, unlock
so
all.
Oh, you went and did this?
Yeah, yeah, I did this.
Yep, yep, yes, I did.
Not once. Surviving Mars has two sets of achievements because it has split achievements because Paradox, it doesn't have it as a Play Anywhere game. So you can do this on PC and on Xbox.
Wow.
So you feel no shame.
No shame. In 10 minutes, I had pulled up 2,000 achievement points. Ark Survival Evolved. Basically, you boot that game up on PC. You could do it, I guess, on a console as well. It'll just take forever. Mm-hmm. But on PC, you can bring up the console, which is basically like the text area. And you can type in console commands. And you can type in console commands that will spawn what you need to get the achievements. I wasn't able to do all of them, and I wasn't going to do all of them either, because there's one where you have to like spawn in 90 different dinosaurs. And you have to type each of those out, and I was like, I'm not doing this. But I did get 970 achievement points out of that one in like less than a half hour or so. There was a bunch of other ones that are just like, the achievements are broken, guys. They're just, they are broken. I am now sitting at for the month, close to 10,000 achievement points. I don't see any more free achievements out there. I didn't really go look, and I'm not paying money for them. So basically if they were on Game Pass, I was getting them, but, there are games that are just like, you know, the developers did not put time into how to earn these achievements, so you can totally cheat the system to, which is fucked up. But it also explains like how
that's what like, you're taking advantage of it. So
right, yeah. I mean, but there's also no integrity to this system because there is. It's like, oh, I have a lot of achievements. Like up until this week, I had earned 250,000 achievement points by myself, like just in general. But that's not anywhere close. I think the leader of achievement points has over 3 million achievement points.
God.
And you got to figure that achievements only came into existence last gen. Like, they weren't on the original Xbox, so it's only been from the 360 through now. Like, how do you get 3 million achievement points?
By not doing anything else.
250,000 is 250 complete games.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot over the course of, you know, what? When did the 360 come out? 2006?
2005.
So 15 years. Like 250 complete games. 3 million is what, 3,000 games? Did that person do anything but unlock achievements? So I have to think that like there are a bunch of other broken games that these people have, you know, exploited. And
it's not the same. You gotta earn it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get into a raffle turn a Series X, so that's what I'm learning.
Barely up in war, apparently, yep. For our good friend Christopher.
Yeah. So, and I will earn the rest of those by playing Batman, because just playing that game will get you 1,000 points. So.
That explains why you'd go back for more of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're free achievement points. Also, it's been sitting there in my library forever. But yeah, I don't know. Achievements might need an overhaul. Maybe. I don't know how you fix them. I don't know how you fix
them. Think they're working as intended.
I guess. The only news I have here is the PS5 user interface was released. Any of you guys watch that?
I did not. Yeah, did I miss you talking about Evil Within?
Yes.
Oh, never
mind. Did you play the first one, right? Or did you play the second one?
I played the first one. I think I played all the first one, and then the second one, I couldn't get much further than, like, an hour in. Like, I just didn't. I own the second one. I just, like, could not get into it.
So I really liked the first one. It definitely had, like, a Resident Evil vibe.
Yeah.
This one is more, I think the vibe is more Silent Hill because it's more open world. Like,
yeah, that like held it back for me, like instantly connecting with it. And so I just gave up.
I do like it. I think it's fun. It's just like, it suffers a little bit from, you know, this generation's open world tendencies, which is, hey, we're going to give you 7,000 markers to go find, except in this case, like, you have a radio and it's like, oh, go investigate this radio transmission. And you're just kind of walking.
Yeah.
So we're just
bringing it back to me. Yeah.
But I am enjoying it. I may just mainline the main story though. I hope that now, you know, that Microsoft has Bethesda, that maybe they expand on that series in a way, because I think we do need more horror, like something more like Resident Evil or Silent Hill out there. There's not a lot of series like that, so. But maybe it could do with a little bit of an overhaul. I'm enjoying it, though. So you guys did not watch the PS5 UI reveal.
I looked at it a little bit. It's hard to get excited about UI.
It is.
It still doesn't look that awesome.
It looks very similar to what's on the PS4, which is that horizontal scrolling. There were some cool features that they showed off, though. So, like, if you're... I'm not sure I like this, but, like, if you just shut down your PS5, like, when you boot it back up, it'll bring you back to where you were playing previously. Xbox does that as well, but not like right into the game, which I found a little weird. Maybe slightly off-putting. Like, you boot it up and you're just like, Sackboy's there, ready to go. So they have these things called cards now. So it's like a sub-menu within the game that you bring up. And I know a lot of this feels like it is ripped from what Xbox has been doing, but maybe doing worse, or they did first and it hasn't been refined.
And like they're improving on it here, you're saying?
In a way. So like they'll bring up these like trophy cards, like, oh, you are, and you see it now on Xbox or even on PlayStation where it's like, you're 33% of the way through this achievement. And you can click on that achievement card, and it'll tell you what the steps are to get the achievement, and like what you've completed, what you're missing. You can hit that achievement and it will take you, if you've gotten that far in the game, it'll take you right to that area that you need to do it, which I think that's pretty cool, because it's like, oh, you know, you've beaten, let's say you beat Gears 5, right? And you miss some achievements, like, all right, I need to do this one thing, like you have to beat an enemy or something in a certain way. You can, in this, like, you just hit that tab, you hit that card, and it'll bring you right to that level, right to that area that you need to do the thing. I did not catch this on the video, but evidently it's been confirmed that, so you can get hints as well, like, oh, how do I do this? Oh, yes,
the hints, but only if you're a PS Plus, right?
Exactly, and I think that's pretty shitty.
Well, I mean, I could be wrong, but maybe, because I've not watched this. But is it also not dependent on the developers actually coming up and doing this?
Fully that. So I feel that this is only going to be a first-party thing for the most case. Like, I don't see Activision doing this, right? Like, or many third parties, because are they really going to put the extra time into, like, filling out these cards and providing tip videos and...
Exactly. Like, it just seems like another step in a development. Like, we're already at a development cycle where people are working nearly up until the day the game's out, and then you're going to have development tips and stuff like that. That does not seem feasible.
No. I like the idea. I think it's pretty cool, and I think Xbox had something early on like that where you should be able, like, you were able to look up, you were able to, like, get help from the guide, and it would bring you to YouTube. It didn't do it, like, picture in picture like it did does here, but I do remember there being something similar. It was just, it was kind of garbagey the way Xbox did it originally. And this seems very, like, it's all very fast. The UI is very, very quick, which it should be. Like, I mean, you know, they're using that faster drive, that faster, you know, the faster storage solution. So, but yeah, it's a UI. I guess they changed the party system, and people aren't liking that. Because I guess it's also on PS4 now. I don't play much PS4 multiplayer, so.
I mean, I'm hesitant to say they couldn't make it much worse. But
you're not wrong. Like, I have been in a party. I don't know how I got into it because I don't know these people. Somebody invited me into this fight, and I don't know how to get the fuck out. Like,
well, even stuff like that. Let's say we had a party. And we want to invite Fozzie or Walt to the party. Depending on how it goes, is like if I'm the party host, you'd then have to suggest that I invite that person to the party. I'd have to find where the hell the suggested players are in the submenu of the party to then go invite them to the. It's a very convoluted how it's set up. Like, again, a lot of stuff I think is just I default to the Xbox mentality, I guess.
Like, yeah, I mean, Xbox invite, is so much easier.
If I get an invite, I should be able to hold down the PlayStation button to just like, have it automatically accepted for me.
Yep. And if you come into that party, right? Like, so Tony invites you to that party and you want to invite Jeff to the party, but Tony's not friends with Jeff. Like, you can do that and not have to, like, have the party leader do it for you.
Yes. It is very convoluted. The fact that we are, 7 years into the system, and it's still trying to figure out, like, okay, how do I do this exactly, it's not great UI design.
No. One of the things I did think was cool, though, was, I guess if your friend is streaming, or allowing for, you know, screen share or screen view or whatever it's called, you can get a notification that, like, Tony is streaming and then just pop that into a corner instead of, like, having to drop out to Twitch or drop out somewhere else. Like, it just pops up. You go, I want to watch that, and you can just slide it into the corner while you're still doing what you were doing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's like you're playing a game. Like, you don't have to fill up your screen to watch Earl play G.I. Joe.
Thank God.
Which I will say, I enjoy the notification on my phone that said sometimes I'll get, you know, Earl streaming or Fozzie streaming, and if I'm working, I can just slide it over and it pops up right on my phone. But this is cool, like, because you're just doing it right from your console and not interrupting what you're doing. So there seems like there's some cool things. Seems like there's some shitty stuff as well, but. To UI, Tony will have full report on that in a couple weeks.
Sure. Well.
I was gonna say it's funny because there's like this huge hubbub about the UI. I'm just like, oh, that's a thing that exists. I mean, like, I didn't watch the video. I had to discuss with somebody. It's like, yeah, once they reveal the price and the date and the launch titles, I'm like, I don't need to know what the specific UI looks like. As long as I can get through a game and play it, I'm fine with it. Yes, the PlayStation ecosystem is kind of cumbersome right now. I still make it work. I mean, I can still play the video game.
Right.
It'll be an awesome surprise for me when I buy it 2 years from now.
You have a 4K TV, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be fine. That seems to be what a lot of people are complaining about, is the icons on the main dash are really tiny. There's a lot of empty space because it's designed for 4K. So, like, as we've seen, as resolutions increase, for whatever reason, the text on everything gets smaller. And so the boxes here seem a little bit tiny because it's been designed for a 4K display. So, I don't think there was any other news, though.
I have a closing topic.
Yeah.
How is everyone's spooky movie month going, and what's your favorite first-time watch? So far, we're like halfway through. We're exactly halfway through.
Yeah.
We are. Right. It's XO. Well, I mean,
you guys are well past halfway through, though.
I said I wasn't going to do it.
Tony is not doing this, correct?
No. No way. No how.
I am... let's be generous. I think I'm going to surpass 31 days right now. Or 31 movies in 31 days. As I'm up to movie 34, 35.
So you have passed 31 and 31 already.
Yes. I'm actually at the point now where I'm forcing myself to slow down. Because I...
You're on pace for 60 and 30.
My one rule was like, I'm gonna, because my record is 47 in the month of October. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna slow myself down to do this. Part of it is like, because I'm working from home and I got my work laptop now, is I have my work laptop and I just put something on my actual laptop itself during the day. The problem with that, as Jeff found out, is like when I watch Mandy, for instance, Mandy's a movie that kind of
hurts my heart.
That warrants your attention. Like you have to pay attention to it. Just to kind of back up real quick, my whole thing for the month of October was I solicited suggestions from Twitter. So people gave me movies that they wanted me to watch, good, bad, neutral, whatever. And I've just been kind of working through that list, along with some other stuff I've been working with, side projects. I still have my drinking movies on Fridays. I'm introducing a friend to horror, so we're watching the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. I'm doing a Halloween franchise with another friend. So stuff like that. Because I don't know any of these movies, I hear Nicolas Cage, I hear horror movie, I'm thinking it's going to be like a really stupid, goofy experience.
That's the mistake everyone makes the first time with Mandy.
So I just put it on the background, and I'm like, oh, wait, I just kind of surprised. So I'm like watching it, and from what I've seen, I actually do enjoy the movie, but I'm like, I wasn't paying attention to it. So I'm like, it's a movie that I'm going to have to revisit at some point with my full attention. But there's other movies that I'm watching, like I watched Bit this morning, which is like it's a vampire movie with a transgender female lead, and it's about feminism and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, that was, I mean, like there's themes, but it's a movie that you can, it's kind of goofy enough that you can watch in the background and kind of pick up on generally what's happening. Same thing with like Wishmaster or Tremors, which are two other franchises that people recommend as. Then there's movies like I watched It Follows last night, and that was a movie that I dedicated my attention to.
Yeah. Is that a first time watch?
Yes.
Wow. Did you like it? Or, you know? Oh, no, don't. Never mind. We can move on. No, go ahead.
It's fine. I don't dislike it. I think some of the messages of it is weird. Essentially, like, oh, if you're the nerdy kid, if you hang around long enough, the girl will have sex with you.
Rid of her killer.
And then you get to pass it on to a prostitute? Question mark.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he passed. Well, because I was.
Yeah, dude, he's straight up picking out who he wants to pass it on to. He's like,
no, I got that part, but then, like, with the ending, I wasn't sure if it, like, passed back to him or if it never passed on.
It always comes back. Eventually, it goes down the line.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, and there were questions that raised from that, not necessarily that in regards, but I'm how far back does it have to go before it's like, say the main character died, does it then just end at that line, or does it skip over? Like, say she died after she passed it on, does it then like revert back to the person before her, that guy?
Right, does it kill it by the person dying?
Yeah, like let's say two people in a row died. Does it then disappear? And then like the shapes it took on, I was just like, oh, like it's one of those psychological thrillers that it's like it needed a bit more finessing. It's like I think the shapes it took on should have been something of note. Like, at one point, it takes on the guy's form when it's haunting him, and I'm like, that just seems dumb. Like, I got when it takes on his mother, or like, or when it takes on people's like close ones, but like taking on the form of that person, or yeah, it's just like it needed a bit more finessing. I like the concept of it. I like the idea that it's like, I mean, it's kind of like an STD,
yeah,
where you can tag with it, where it's like, you know, you take it, you get it, you pass it on to somebody else. That person passes it on to somebody else. That person passes it on to somebody else. But I feel like it's an interesting concept that did not necessarily hit home at the end.
I thought the very end, like the part kind of you were just talking about, I really like.
I like that part, but I didn't like the pool scene. And then, I didn't like the fact that like, I did not like the fact that she had sex with that dude. I feel like it's just one of those nice guys things that is always kind of it can be taken the wrong way.
That synth score though, you know?
Oh, it's good music. It's good music, good atmosphere. Some really great shots, like the one again, I mean minus spoilers. But like when they're at the beach and you can just see the woman in the background as she's approaching her, and I'm just like waiting for anybody to turn around to see her. and I think it does a great job with that at times, where it's like you don't necessarily know what is real, what's not, as far as what the character is seeing, until like that thing just kind of walking forward.
So you didn't say what was your best first time.
What was my favorite first time watch so far? You two answer, and then I'll come back.
So I've only watched first time watches.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that with your list. You were like picking out, like, I haven't seen you do any favorites. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, there's all ones that I haven't seen previously. But I think the one that I've liked the most so far is the one I just watched last night. Hashtag Alive. Korean zombie movie. Really well done. It kind of approaches things a little bit differently. Like most of the time, zombie movies are, all right, here's the outbreak. Now we're going to get a group of people together. They're going to infight, and you know, bad shit's going to happen. Some of them are going to die. Maybe eventually they all live. And it, you know, most zombie movies kind of follow that. This, like, for the first 40 minutes, like, it's just a one person film. Like, it is just this guy locked in his fucking apartment. He's like a teenage, he's like a streamer, like, he's a game streamer, completely like useless in anything else. Like, his mom had asked him to go to the grocery store, he didn't do that, so he's running out of food. You know, and it's just, you start to see him, his mental state just deteriorate as he realizes that shit's not getting better outside. And going outside is not going to be good for him. And
you know, sounds very familiar.
it's very resonant of what's going on right now. And you know, in the second and third acts, there are other characters that get introduced, but it's all very much like is self-contained in this one area. It deals with, you know, how maybe other people being nice to you can help you turn around your life view. And then, you know, how some people, you know, if they lose somebody, they just give up on life, and you know, there's nothing that can turn them back from wanting to end things. So, you know, there's some good messages in it. There's some dark messages in it. The action's good. It's you know, pretty, it's tense and exciting when they go out of the apartment. Yeah, I think it's a pretty fun, but like, I think Korea is doing a bang up job on some horror. Yeah.
Yeah. My one beef is I think like the final half an hour. So, like a lot of this, and this is my beef with a lot of movies I've watched this year. I feel, and maybe I'm just getting cynical in my old age, I felt like a lot of it was just kind of predictable. especially like the final sequence where I'm like, I'm just waiting for this one thing to happen.
And like it happens at the very end,
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, oh,
that,
I know.
That was like, oh, like, you know, this thing is definitely going to happen. Like, they're not going to let it end the other way. But I did think they do a good job of, like, as you said, like, it seems like it's going to be predictable. And it's like, and then it turns and it's like, huh, that was different. And then it turns again. It's like, oh shit. Like, wow, they pulled the rug out from under me there.
Have you guys seen One Cut of the Dead?
I have not.
Oh my God. Please watch that, both of you. I can't say anything else. It's a Japanese zombie movie.
Yeah, it was on Shudder. I think it's taken off now. It was on my list of stuff to watch, and I did not watch it yet.
If you don't know anything, I'm not going to say anything about it. If you don't know anything, don't read anything about it or anything. Just watch the movie.
It is. I just checked the Just Watch, and it says it is on Shudder. So,
okay, then I'll double check.
Maybe it's back.
I don't want to say more.
Okay. I think my two favorites is a toss up between Hell House LLC and Owl, which is they're both on Shudder or both on Shudder originals.
I like Hell House.
Yeah, I think it's just fun to kind of see something behind the scenes of like the development of like one of these spooky attractions. And I think the other thing is I think it does a good job of kind of building up to the mystery around the house. And when everything hits the fan, I think it's one of the found footage films that actually really works well, I think. And then now it's just a really good psychological thriller about like what you can and can't trust. And Spiral is very similar, especially when they're both dealing with queer couples.
I just added Spiral to my watch list on Shudder. I saw a trailer for that. That looks really good.
Yeah. And then another one that was okay. I like the concept, and I think it does well, but it wasn't necessarily was Scare Me, which is also on Shudder. Essentially, what we're advertising is we need to get a Shudder promotion going on this podcast.
I've been doing it for fucking like 2 years.
But I mean, as far as like how much Shudder pay us to get them.
Agreed. did you like Scare Me, Earl?
I did. I think it's a very intriguing concept, and I think again, you know, like a lot of horror movies are not necessarily horror related, but they're on real world things, and I think this one tackles toxic masculinity in a very interesting way.
The entire time, like, I know that actress from somewhere.
Yeah, I cannot remember where.
She's on The Boys. She's Stormfront. She's the Nazi superhero.
Oh, I know from You're the Worst. The FX show.
Okay.
Yes.
Jeff?
I was just like looking over my list. I actually,
it was just your question and you don't have an answer.
No, I do have an answer. I was just like, what, you know, I was trying to see what else was a first time watch for me. And I only have like a couple, I think, first time watches. A lot of it is just digging through the Friday the 13th discs. But, my favorite first time watch and probably like my favorite movie I've watched this month, is fucking Scanners. You guys seen fucking Scanners? I'd never seen it before.
I have not seen Scanners.
So it's like Scanners to me. Earl, have you seen it?
No.
Scanners is like, what if David Cronenberg did the X-Men? And so it's like people that have special mind powers, and there's good guys and bad guys. You know, and so it's fucking cool as shit, dude. It's like mixing kind of like a, again, reminds me of like the X-Men with David Cronenberg sensibilities of like, you know, body horror and fucking just cool ass shit, like cool ass old fucking computer technology in it. Like, you know, think of like The Fly, like how the computers were in that and shit. Like, you know, you have a shit like that in it. yeah, I'd never seen it before, and I was like surprised. Like, and, like the movie's not slow or boring or anything. Like, right away in the first 10 minutes, like fucking 10 people are dead. Like, whole bunch of shit's going down. Like right away, I was like, oh shit, I'm glad I finally fucking checked this out. What the hell took me so long to watch this movie? And yeah, I thought it was pretty cool throughout. I thought it had a cool ending, and yeah, Scanners, dude, fucking watch that shit. Where the hell did I watch it? HBO Max, maybe?
They have a pretty good selection.
I will say that has been my one pet peeve. I mean, it's a good thing in theory, but one of my pet peeves of this spooky season is I realize how many streaming services that there are, and just kind of trying to find something to watch. It's like me stripping through like six of them. It's like, oh, this seems interesting. Oh, let me check what so-and-so has and not remember what any of them have. Because like, Peacock has a lot of the old Universal horror movies. Tubi has a lot of like good B-rated ones. I've actually found a lot of them on Tubi. Amazon Prime and has a lot of like the art house one, like Lighthouse, The Lodge and Hereditary and Midsommar.
Midsommar's good.
Yeah, and I think those are all on Prime. So it's fascinating to just kind of flip through and be like, oh, I remember seeing this somewhere, and then trying to find like I watched one called You Might Be the Killer, which is on Sci-Fi. And that one's based off of like a Twitter thread from like 2017.
Huh.
So it was interesting. It's not my favorite horror comedy. I think Cabin in the Woods and Tucker and Dale versus Evil are gonna be really tough to beat.
Yeah. I did not like Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Okay.
I don't like either of those movies. I hate I'm sure there's some that I really love, but
Cabin in the Woods, if you don't like grand movies, that's just like terrible.
Cabin in the Woods, just like, I don't know what it is. Oh, you know what, another one I watched recently, it's like, I don't like, if I look at other people's ratings on Letterboxd, everyone's like 4 stars, 4.5 stars, 5 stars. The Evil Dead movies do absolutely fucking nothing for me.
Oh, no, those nothing. I don't care as much. They're more campy than anything, which I don't mind campy, but it's like, it's not the same. Like,
I just don't get it. Like, I'm looking at it like, okay, cool, you did a bunch of special effects. Awesome, dude. Good job.
Like, Tucker and Dale and Cabin in the Woods, I think, are, like, specifically, they understand the rule of horror, and they poke fun at that. It's kind of like Scream, but Scream, if Scream went all the way. Yeah.
No, I've seen them. I don't know.
You don't like Scream either?
No, I love Scream. Okay. I don't like those other two.
You can watch Scanners 2 and Scanners 3 on Tubi.
I didn't even know that there was.
I didn't either. I was looking to see where Scanners was. HBO Max seems to be the only place. But there are Scanners 2 and Scanners 3 as well.
I do have... coming up, I'm going to watch Altered States. We're watching it for the other podcasts. That's going to be first time watch for me. I'm actually excited for that, just because
even though you tried to rig the action, that Mandy would win.
No comment.
There's a lot of people answering into that poll.
And Jeff kept on trying to get Mandy pushed. He's like, "This is your card.
I got it."
It's up. It was up by one when you should be the other day. Is it still up by that?
It won.
We're not done yet. Oh, the poll's over.
Yeah, you can only do 7 days.
Okay, so there you go.
As soon as it hit the number I wanted, I stopped promoting it. I didn't cheat, and I didn't vote on it. I never vote on our own poll, you know. So it's
I didn't think you cheated, but you were really pushing. Hey.
Chris wanted to campaign. Chris hasn't seen Altered States either.
Seen Altered States.
But no. If you wanted to campaign for that one, he could have. I don't care. You know, it's fair and square.
I mean, I'm not going to campaign for a movie I haven't watched yet.
I campaigned against a movie I didn't watch yet, so there's that.
That's true. I'm not sure how I'm going to handle Altered States, because that's going to be a first-time watch that I'm adding to the list. But I've been doing a write-up of each of the films, and I don't want to do that for the podcast, because I won't be out until November 1st. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm doing for them, though. I am going to, this Saturday night, get a six-pack of Anti-Hero, sit down, and watch them back-to-back. I'm
gonna do fresh Anti-Hero, not six-month-old Anti-Hero.
Of course fresh. Why would it be...
You know what?
I mean, we did have that discussion.
If you think I'm going to sit on Anti-Hero for 6 months, I don't sit on it for 6 minutes. This is a tome.
That's when you want to make sure that you're doing that.
That's right.
And you got to pour it out and then pour it back in. Or I don't remember what they're all doing. It's about like wasting half of it. And
is Anti-Hero unfiltered, Jeff?
Am I getting that right?
No.
I do have some delicious pumpkin ale coming up. I mean, I had some last weekend, but I have some. I will say, after several years of doing this, most pumpkin beers do kind of taste the same.
They do. After a while, after you've had, like... I mean, there are some, like, there's, like, pumpkin stouts, and there are, like, some other, like, varieties that aren't exactly pumpkin ale, but...
But they, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Once you've had a good pumpkin ale, they all taste the same.
And Earl doesn't do stouts, right?
I mean, I do stouts in the sense that I'm really bad with beer, and I will just end up doing... I will be like, oh, this sounds interesting. I will try it, and I'm like, oh, I still hate stouts. There are a handful of stouts that I do enjoy. I did try a pumpkin stout when I went out to brunch with some friends a few weeks ago. Yeah, two or three friends.
Did we lose
Earl? I think we did.
Oh, no. All right.
It shows that he's talking.
Yeah. He's kind of
locked. Himself accidentally?
I'm not showing it muted. This is great air.
I mean, I can mute myself in my headset and don't show as muted in the thing.
Okay. All right. Well, Earl, we lost you. We're sorry.
Goodbye, Earl.
Like stouts, they're delicious, Earl. God damn it.
Yeah, I just downloaded this app called, I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, Tavor.
Okay.
Which, you know, they're like limited run beers, and and I missed out on like a good coffee stout that, well, I don't know if it was good. I didn't get to try it. But
their stuff is normally all curated. So, like, if you're getting something from them, it's normally pretty awesome.
I wanted to get this strawberry rhubarb sour ale, but it like sold out so quick, and it was like $15 a can. It's like, that's a lot.
Yeah, I have a friend who, fingers crossed, hope he got me Ninja Turtles gluten-free beer.
Ninja Turtles beer? Wait, did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Like, does it have mutagen branded in it? Like, what makes it?
It's just Ninja Turtles branded. It's from a brewery in New Jersey. They had some over the summer, and it sold out before even, like, I mean, this was in the dead of summer where I was just not even my house. But I'm going, like, I have all of next week off, so I'm going to Jersey City for a few days because that is what my life has come to in 2020. I'm willingly taking a vacation to New Jersey.
I'm sorry.
But you know, it was like this is the most comfortable I feel traveling outside of New York City. It's really just the city over the water.
Why don't you just go to a different part of New York? Like, there's other nice parts of New York without having to go to New Jersey.
Because, like, I feel like if I did that in New York, I would just end up doing stuff I would do in New York anyhow.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what I ended up doing. Like, when I stayed in stayed overnight in two nights at a hotel in June, I just ended up doing like the stuff I would do in New York City anyhow, like walking around the areas I walk around anyhow.
Yeah.
Where I felt like, at least with Jersey City, like, it's far enough that I can't, like, it's not, like, you can commute in, but it wouldn't make any sense. I'm like, okay, I can see New York City. It is really just, it's still two trains that I would take anyhow. It's right there. I got an Airbnb for, you know, four nights. That's cheaper than, it's like just over $300 for the four nights. I have it to myself. I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna, I mean, honestly, it's just like a change in environment. You know, new foods, new areas. I'll bring my Switch with me. Don't worry, I'll be back in time for the podcast. I specifically take the days. It's Monday through Thursday. Like, I'm off all week, but I'm going away Monday through Thursday. Because I'm like, I should, like, I do, you go away on the weekend, but I'm like, if I'm away during the week, I won't even, like, if I'm home during the week, I'm going to be tempted to check my work emails and, like, whatever. I'm like, I'm just going to specifically make sure I'm not at home during that time so nobody can reach out to me. I'm not tempted to check emails or anything like that.
So when do you go on this vacation?
Monday.
Nice. Well, enjoy. Jeff, you are on vacation in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Halloween, right?
Yeah, like, the week of the election. I'm not going anywhere, except in my mind and my soul.
I was going to say, depending on who wins, you might go somewhere.
I'm going on journeys that week. It's just, if I'm like, ouch.
Tony, any vacations coming up?
No, I'm just going to spend a lot of time hiding in my apartment, just waiting for it all to be over.
Fair. It's me too. I'm not going anywhere, so... But we will be back next week. I will have NHL. I don't even know what we're at now. Is it, what was Madden this year? 21?
21.
Yeah, so NHL 21. Torchlight 3 came out?
Yes, it did.
I might play that.
If they allow me to actually get it, I'm hoping to have Mario Kart Live. That's out tomorrow.
Nice.
It has not been up for pre-order anywhere, really.
It's a myth.
Every time I go on the eShop, I eye that Hades game.
I do want to. I think that's going to be a game. I think that's going to be a game that we have to play before the end of the year because it's
right?
Like a heavy game of the year contender.
I just wish it was on Xbox for whatever reason.
Wish it was on Game Pass.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't know. Get the achievements and shit. I don't know. It might be a totally perfect Switch game, like, you know, a game you want to play handheld sometimes, you know. It might be that type of game. It sounds like it actually might be, so.
How much is Hades?
25.
Mm-hmm. Not saying it's not worth it. It's just
Dude, people seem to really fucking dig that game, so.
I've liked everything that's come out of that studio that I played. I did not
play their I never have. Games,
but you'd have not liked any other stuff?
No. But, like, I don't know.
I didn't play Transistor, but I played Bastion. I liked Bastion and played Pyre. Really liked Pyre. So
I tried Transistor. I remember it was like okay. Like it just there's something about them. I don't know. It's like technically games I should love, but we'll see.
I don't like roguelikes, and that's I think that's my aversion.
I'm intrigued by them, honestly, and I like to see like how like what spin you know they're gonna put on it. Like, I can't say I've ever been super into a roguelike game, but like I've been, you know, here and there. I thought Rogue Legacy was pretty neat.
Dead Cells was fun.
Dead Cells I thought was really cool. Spelunky. I'm never very good or get very far, but I like that kind of almost like arcade game idea.
I think this one, at least, like when you die, like you're not like losing everything. So you're getting stronger each playthrough. So eventually you can be.
Yeah. Like, I think most roguelites do kind of have that aspect, at least the ones I've played. Like I think Rogue Legacy kind of has that to it a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of randomness. Things.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway,
we should probably try that at some point.
Yeah, we definitely should.
But yeah, we'll have some stuff next week. Earl will be back. He can tell us all about how Jersey City is in October. And yeah, we'll have some stuff to talk about. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.